Aaron Rodgers has not been traded to the New York Jets yet, as of this recording, but that's happening. He is going to be a New York Jet. Alan Lazard, according to reports, has already agreed to terms with the Jets. According to reports, Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis are heading to the Jets. And unless this is all just an elaborate hoax to show that those gotcha media people don't know anything, all orchestrated by Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers is going to be a New York Jet. So how do the Packers plan in the short run with Jordan Love? Plus, Darren Waller is headed to New York, but not with the Jets. What this says and what we learn about the Packers' approach over the last few years, plus a little extra, a quarterback who could be backing up Jordan Love set to hit the market. All of that as we still wait for Aaron Rodgers on today's show.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. I almost forgot to do the finger thing. You can follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. It's been a long week, guys. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Oh my goodness. My brain is fried, guys. This has been a long week. Refreshing my Twitter feed, sending text messages, making calls, trying to figure out just what is going on in Aaron Rodgers land. And ultimately what I learned is that is a fool's errand. As of this very moment, as of this recording, very late here now, in the evening ahead of Wednesday, I guess we're Wednesday morning. It's Wednesday morning now. Maybe that's why I'm a little bit loopy. I wanted to give everyone involved the benefit of the doubt. I had heard earlier in the day that this was going to happen on Tuesday evening. Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers, they are set to have their not weekly conversation in the offseason, but it's going to be an Aaron Rodgers Wednesday. We know what this is going to look like. So barring craziness, Aaron Rodgers is going to be New York Jet. We don't know what the comp is going to look like. And I have been saying from the jump that I think someone like Corey Davis would make sense in this trade. And I threw out the trade, 43, Corey Davis on a rework deal, Carl Lawson on a rework deal, and a future second that could become a first depending on options. And I actually think now that that trade is off the table in a lot of ways, maybe not off the table, but is undervaluing Rodgers. If they're going to sign all these guys, if Lazard is coming in on a multi-year deal, 4 years, $44 million, understanding all contracts are really 2 years, wait and see. If Randall Cobb is going to come to New York, if Mercedes Lewis is going to come from New York, you have to assume that they got a commitment beyond this season, that this is Aaron Rodgers for 2 years, they think. Now, the Packers thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers for at least 2 years when he signed that deal. And so whether or not the Jets are wise to actually believe anything Rodgers says about the timeline of his future, given what we have seen play out over the last few years with Aaron Rodgers, is not the point. But maybe there's more to be had in a potential deal. We're not even going to talk about that because as soon as a deal happens, the comp conversation is totally dated, and I didn't want today's show to be dated if we get a trade before you listen to this. I want you to be able to continue to listen to this, even if Aaron Rodgers has been traded. The reason I brought up Corey Davis is because he is a terrific Alan Lazard replacement. Now we know Alan Lazard is out the door, and I thought it was so perfect. Ben Solak from The Ringer tweeted out a description of Alan Lazard, and it was, he'll do all the dirty work, he'll block, he can play the slot, he can play outside, attack the middle of the field. I was like, this is a shot for shot remake of Alan Lazard's scouting report. Like, that is how you would describe Alan Lazard. Does the dirty work, blocks, can play in the slot, can play on the outside, middle of the field. That's where he wins. That's Corey Davis. And I got some pushback on this. Oh, Corey Davis. And I think part of it is Packer fans going, well, that's not enough. And what I don't want, you know, I'm being them now. What they don't want is to take Corey Davis in a deal and then not address receiver early on and to say, okay, this is important draft compensation. No, Corey Davis is getting cut. They need the Corey Davis $10 million off their books. So if they trade him to Green Bay, it's gone. They save almost that full $10 million and the Packers can renegotiate a new deal. What I think is funny is Packers fans, some of them for years have complained about a lack of weapons. And then this upgrade, clear upgrade over the guys currently on the roster. The current receivers on the Packers roster, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Samori Toure, Bo Melton, all of them 2022 rookies. They do not have a veteran receiver on the team. Corey Davis is exactly the kind of receiver who could have been a little bit of a stabilizing force in this Packers passing game had, as my colleague at The Leap and America's Guest, Jason Hirschhorn, as he reported, the Packers tried to trade for Corey Davis around the trade deadline. They go, around the draft. We know you're going to take a receiver. They ended up taking Garrett Wilson. You have Elijah Moore. You've invested this money at the receiver position. So you don't need Corey Davis. Send him to us. Well, they were trying to get, you know, Zach Wilson all of the help that he could have. Well, now Aaron Rodgers is bringing his friends. If you're bringing Alan Lazard, you don't need Corey Davis. If you're bringing Randall Cobb, by the way, they already said goodbye to Braxton Berrios. Here comes Randall Cobb. Corey Davis is immediately, like, if we were to go out and watch them play football today, Corey Davis might be the best receiver on the Packers if you were on the Packers. Now, Christian Watson would be wide receiver one, but in terms of just like, I trust you to play any position and do all the things, you might take Davis first. Even if he's not first, he's definitely second. He's no worse than second. We saw Romeo Doubs at the end of last season struggling to get snaps after a really good training camp start to the season and all of the excitement that was built up around him. He's a nice player. He's a useful player. And this all speaks to where the Packers are going. I've said this before on the show and it bears repeating. The Packers are going to Jordan Love, not just because this is the time to get out of the Aaron Rodgers business, and it is, but because they believe in Jordan Love. And if they believe in Jordan Love, then now is not the time to stockpile draft picks and play the long game. This team is ready to compete in an incredibly diluted NFC. Maybe not compete for a Super Bowl, but if you're getting average, like if Jordan Love is somewhere between the 14th and 20th best quarterback in the league, the Packers can win 8, 9, 10 games. That is a reasonable range of outcomes with this team. This is a good, talented team. If they can stay healthy, you add some pieces in the draft, you get some pieces back. If you get a Corey Davis, terrific. You're basically running back last year's team with Corey Davis instead of Alan Lazard, a new draft, all those guys in year two. You get Eric Stokes back from injury. Maybe you move Russell Douglas to safety. And everything looks a little bit better. You get Rashawn Gary back in midseason, Kingsley and Igbari. Like, there's an upside look to this where they're the second or third best team in the NFC. Because Jordan Love is just mediocre. He's just fine. He's just Kirk Cousins. He's just Jimmy G. Like, that is a reasonable outcome for this season. Why are you saying, oh, well, I want this third round pick? Again, I keep going back to this idea of when you know you can get a player who can do certain things, that has value. Draft picks can be anything. They could even be as good as the player that you're getting potentially. So that's why I really like the idea of getting multiple picks and multiple players, guys who can come in and help you win right now. If you are ready and willing and excited about going to Jordan Love, then that means you think this team can win now. Win a Super Bowl, maybe not, but win games, win a lot of games with Jordan Love. Go back and look at 2008. That team was, I believe, a top 12 team by DVOA. They didn't win a lot of games. They lost a lot of close games. But that was a 2017 that won 13 games. They went to the NFC Championship game. Aaron Rodgers took basically that same team. They went 6-8. Defenses couldn't get stops late, but that was a good football team. The underlying metrics all said that was a good football team. And guess what? They proved it the next season. 2009, they go to the playoffs. 2010, they win a Super Bowl. Now, they added a couple pieces in the draft in there. You know, Ryan Pickett, Charles Woodson. Clearly, they had an impact on this team. But they tried to win those games with Aaron Rodgers. They weren't going, let's you know, go cheap and go long here. No. And the reason specifically that you are going to Jordan Love is because you believe in him. And that means trying to win football games. All right, I'm going to talk about the Packers' approach and some of the criticisms that they have taken vis-a-vis all sorts of opportunities that they've allegedly missed out on because they seemingly missed out on another one. But did they really? Talk about that in a second. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. We are approaching the NBA playoffs, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because no new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. The Bucks got a huge win last night against the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix on a back-to-back. And both teams on a back-to-back. The Bucks go out west and beat the Kings and the Suns in succession. If they hadn't blown the game against the Warriors, I mean, we might be having the Giannis MVP conversation again, but why don't you bet on them? Let's have some fun. And you can get a no-sweat first bet. That's the thing. Get a no-sweat first bet, and you don't have to worry about getting it wrong because you can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. The Giants, not the Jets, the Giants traded for Darren Waller. And they traded a pick that they got from Kansas City. It's like the 100th pick. It's a late third round that might as well be a fourth round pick. And what is fascinating about this to me is the Packers offered more in the Devontae Adams trade. You're getting Devontae Adams. The value they ultimately settled on was a first and a second because the Packers wanted two firsts. And the reason ultimately that Darren Waller could not have been in that trade, he was in that trade, was I guess the teams didn't realize you can't trade a player in those circumstances. Now, what they could have done instead is say, hey, how about Devontae Adams for a first round pick? And then we'll trade you Darren Waller for a fifth round pick or whatever it was. The moral of the story is the Packers couldn't do it. And they couldn't find a way to make it work. The Raiders didn't want to make it work. At the deadline, multiple reports, including from Tom Silverstein and Ian Rappaport, the Packers offered a second round pick for Darren Waller, also for Chase Claypool. They went hard trying to get players to make this team better. And, you know, Chase Claypool did not have a great season in Chicago. Part of that is because he had Justin Fields throwing him the ball. Darren Waller hurt. Not super productive last season, but you can make an easy case that those guys would have changed the fortunes of the Green Bay Packers, at least gotten them to the playoffs. And who knows what could have happened from there? They were getting healthy. They were starting to find a rhythm defensively. If you add a dynamic pass catcher, who knows what could have happened in the postseason? Maybe they're the ones playing Brock Purdy in an NFC Championship game without a, you know, an ulnar nerve or whatever he had. Now they probably don't beat the Eagles, but things would have been different. That means the Packers, in two different situations, offered the Raiders more than they ultimately got in a trade for Darren Waller. And this, of course, reminds me of the Jared Cook situation, something that Packer fans love to bring up when they criticize Ted Thompson, because in 2016, Jared Cook makes an unbelievable play against the Cowboys. They don't let him, they don't bring him back. They do the Mercedes Lewis thing, or the, sorry to slander Mercedes Lewis. Absolutely not. They do the Martellus Bennett thing. Mercedes Lewis comes later. That doesn't work out. Then they try Jimmy Graham. That doesn't work out. Then you get to Mercedes Lewis, a much beloved figure in Packers Nation, much the opposite of Martellus Bennett. But it was reported that the Packers offered Jared Cook more than the Raiders ultimately offered Jared Cook. But his agent said, we think we can get more. Thanks, but no thanks. The Packers said, okay. And in the meantime, they signed Martellus Bennett. Now you can say, look, oh, they shouldn't have signed Martellus Bennett. They should have waited on Jared Cook. Come on. Martellus Bennett had been a really good player for a really long time. You have an opportunity to sign that guy. You're not waiting on Jared Cook. There's not a material difference at the time. You're not really thinking. Retrospect, you can say Jared Cook ended up having a couple good years left. Martellus Bennett went scorched earth on his way out of town. And so it's very easy to say that was a bad move. But the Packers offered more money. They offered more money to Jared Cook than he ultimately got. You are only as good as your options. Your choices are only as wise as the decisions you can make in that moment, the options available to you. And so the Packers tried to give the Raiders more than the Giants had to give up to get Darren Waller by a lot, like by a full round in the draft. And the difference in a round between the end of the second and the very tip-top bottom of the third is enormous in terms of value. It's enormous. Maybe the biggest gulf outside of like the top 10 to the end of the first round. It is a huge difference. And so this is not to excuse the Packers for a lack of action or anything like that. It is a concrete example that teams, it's not as easy as just, oh, they could have done that deal. Oh, the Jalen Ramsey deal, they could have given up a third round pick for Jalen Ramsey. Well, maybe they did. Maybe they offered it. And this is not just Packers specific, this is pick a team. Some GMs have good relationships with other teams. Some GMs just won't do business with other GMs. Like if you look around other sports, we see this. Like NBA teams just didn't want to make deals with Danny Ainge. Just didn't want to make deals with Daryl Morey. Because they felt like they were going to get beat on them. Because those guys only made deals when they were getting, you know, $1.50 on the dollar. And so teams just didn't want to do that. Now, we don't have any evidence that the Packers are like that. But it's important to remember when we look at all of the opportunities that have been out there that have been reported, and we hear this all the time, the Packers were in, they were, blah, blah. Maybe it was never really truly an opportunity for them. The AJ Brown trade is a great example of this. There's no evidence that the Packers were ever really able to make a pitch there. I bring this up all the time. Because of the unique way that trade comes together. Sometimes things just don't work out. And in a lot of ways, that is, you know, maybe even a nihilistic way of looking at it. Like, nothing matters, eat Arby's. But it's not a reason. There are plenty of reasons. Look, I do it all the time, to criticize the front office or the coaches or whatever. But I think this is a great concrete example of why it can be good to just say, you know what? We didn't have all the information, and it turns out they held fast. That was not enough for them. The reporting is, and what I have heard is, the Packers and the Raiders had agreed to a deal, and the Raiders backed out last minute. And so that's not the Packers' fault. They offered more than the Raiders ultimately got for Darren Waller. And so it's hard for me to be like, well, they should have done this deal. No, they tried. They tried. And it's not like, oh, congratulations, you tried. No, they made a better effort than the Giants to get Darren Waller, and they didn't because of what the Raiders did. It's not about what the Packers did. It's about what these other teams do. And it reminds me of what my dad used to always tell me about driving. You know, now people who know me are going to be like, well, you're not the best driver, not the safest driver. Maybe true. Don't ask my wife. But it's not, he always told me he wasn't worried about me driving. He was worried about the other drivers, the other morons that are on the road. And I think that's a great metaphor here. It's not, the Packers have proven that they're a competent organization. It's that they're not always dealing with rational, logical actors. And that's not to say that it absolves them of every bad choice they've ever made. But it's a reminder that we don't always have the context that drives these decisions. And it's hard to assign blame to just Green Bay when it could just as easily be the Raiders being the Raiders. All right, we're going to finish up here. But before we do, the Ultimate Football GM is a proud partner on today's show. Look, if you were in Brian Gutekunst's position, you would not be in an easy position. These calls can be hard to make. The call that Ted Thompson had to make with Brett Favre, a difficult one. The Ultimate Football GM is an app designed to recreate those moments, to recreate those decisions for you so that you can see how you would make them in the moment. Are the stakes the same? Not so much, but you still care. If you're playing these games, you're competitive. You want to win. You want to have a successful franchise. You want to go win the Super Bowl. The Ultimate Football GM gives you that opportunity. Hiring the right coaches, the right coordinators, managing all the finances associated with the team, the franchise free agency, the draft, player personnel, all the ups and downs. And the best part, Locked On Packers listeners can get up to a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. That's Locked On. So make sure to check it out today to download the game and visit ultimate-gm.com to look it up, or in the app store. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. So Taylor Heinicke comes off the board. He signs with the Falcons. Marcus Mariota still out there. Matt Ryan heading out the door in Indianapolis. And the reason I bring those two up is I think Marcus Mariota, who is leaving Atlanta, and Matt Ryan each make a ton of sense for the Packers in the context of a veteran backup that is not a threat to Jordan Love. Matt Ryan, I mean, it was hard to watch at times last year. And Marcus Mariota was a starter, but I think everyone knew what the deal was there. A bridge starter. Well, they either get Desmond Ridder, or they can trade for Lamar Jackson, or whatever the case may be. Marcus Mariota has a history with Matt LaFleur in Tennessee, knows the offense, and has some similar physical traits to Jordan Love. Can make plays on the move. Doesn't have a huge arm, but I think you could keep the offense more or less the same with Marcus Mariota versus Jordan Love. One of the reasons to like Matt Ryan is, you know, his best season came with Matt LaFleur as his quarterback's coach. There's a familiarity there. And then Matt Ryan becomes an extension of your coach on the sidelines, another voice in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, to help Jordan Love as his development continues here. And so as long as someone like, and I, the Matt Ryan one I love, especially because he, a former league MVP, knows the offense, has been through it, has changed teams now. You bring him in as someone who understands, look, I'm here to support Jordan Love. And if the team needs him to come in and win a couple games, remember, this is a team that wants to win. He can do that. And you can keep the bones of your offense. Again, is it going to be, you know, there is certainly a difference in skill set, Marcus Mariota, Matt Ryan. If you are going to run like zone read plays with Jordan Love, you're not going to do that with Matt Ryan, but you can still run the same, you know, flood boot concepts or, you know, play action, all of the like dagger, Yankee, all the stuff that you want to be core elements of your offense. That's there for you because that is stuff that Matt Ryan has been doing for a long time now. So just two guys to keep an eye on. If and when this Aaron Rodgers deal goes through, and it's going to go through, it is a when, not an if. But when that happens, couching the lowest percentile chances that it doesn't happen, the Packers would be wise to get a bona fide veteran in there to help. Just as an extra support piece. Maybe they'll draft someone too. I think that makes some sense. There are some names I like. We're going to talk about those names as we get a little bit closer to the draft. But it's just something that I think we need to keep in mind here as we look at next steps for the Packers in what is looking increasingly like an accumulation of information. What did Schefter say? Mounting. It doesn't matter. Mounting is the only word that I can think of. Mounting indications that Aaron Rodgers is going to be moved. This is going to be Jordan Love's team sooner rather than later. And it would be nice to have a veteran to help him through all of it. All right. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live, like, I don't know, for example, when Aaron Rodgers announces on Pat McAfee's show that he's going to New York, we're going to go live on YouTube. So come hang out with us so you can stay Locked On Packers.